Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, we've been in this topic called threshold, and I have a little different perspective, which is why Josh asked me to speak about it. And the way that I see a threshold, I loved his illustration of a door. You know, a threshold is a door, but I see it as a gap. You know, a threshold is a gap or something that we have to cross over, right? You get into a vehicle, I always used to say, this guy I used to detail cars for, he would be like, you have to scrub the threshold so they look clean. I was like, what in the world is a threshold? He said, this thing, the thing you have to step over in order to get into your vehicle. So there's a threshold, there's a gap, right? And what we want to do is we want to try to eliminate these gaps. And with what I'm talking about this morning, because my subject this morning is the threshold of offense. Overcoming the threshold of offense. How many's ever been offended in here? Those of you who didn't raise your hands, there's going to be prayer up here afterwards, okay? The threshold of offense. Let me pray real quick because I want to speak this with clarity, and I hope that it takes hold in your heart. Father God, I love and I thank you for the great privilege to be able to speak on this stage this morning. God, I am humbled and honored to be able to communicate your word. I am just a vessel to be used by you, and I know that people's lives are going to be touched. God, please help the Dallas Cowboys today get a win. Because they are in deep need of a win, and I have been offended that they have not been winning. In your precious name we pray, amen. I just felt, you know, I mean, you got to get it in when you can get it in. You know what I'm saying? So, today, it seems like everywhere that we look, everywhere that we turn, people are offended. We're getting offended by something, whether it's big or whether it's small. Everywhere that we look, people are becoming offended. I will take 20 minutes to type out a tweet or an Instagram post and make sure that I proofread it, the tone is good, that it's not sending out the wrong message, just in order to not offend somebody. Is anybody else out there like that? Yes. It goes on. I'm telling you. 20 minutes. I mean, just go to your social media feeds. Look no further than that right there. You will see offending after offense after offense after offense, and people clapping back at one another over sometimes really silly issues, sometimes major issues. But there's offense in the world, and we choose to live our lives offended. Let's take it one step further, and I'm including myself in this bucket. Christians are the worst. We are the worst at being offended. Make no mistake about it, we are. You can try to exclude yourself all you want to. Christians live our lives offended. You come to church, well, the coffee ain't free. You're sitting in my seat. It's funny, I can close my eyes and tell where everybody's going to sit from week to week. I can! Heaven forbid if somebody steals a seat. We get in the truck to go to church. We may have a disagreement. You're driving too fast. I'm offended. Then I'm going to clap back. You need to let me drive. I'm the captain. You're the co-captain. Then there's offenses flying all around my truck when we pull up to church on Sunday. And we hold all that in, but as soon as we hit the door, good morning, bless you, good to see you. It's good to see you this morning. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we hold all of that in, and then somebody holds the door open for us and greets us, and we don't say hi to them. They don't say hi back, and we begin to hold in all these offenses one after one. And then the next thing you know, we're holding our hands up singing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. I want to punch someone in the face as hard as I can. Am I the only one who does this, or is this anybody else? I mean, this message is just as much for me as it is for anybody else. I've done it. I have done it. Christians, I'm telling you, we cover it up. We cover it up. We live our lives offended, and we get offended over simple little things. Oh, the music's too loud. I don't like the speaking. I don't like the lights. I don't like this or that. We get offended over little things, and we'll leave and go to another place and leave and go to another place, all the while realizing that the problem is you. It has nothing to do with anything going on in the church. No church is perfect. And if you find the perfect church, don't go there, because then it's not going to be perfect anymore. Because you aren't perfect. There we go. We're doing it. We're doing it. Let's look at, Jesus takes it one step further when speaking about offense and talking about offense. And he's referencing the old law of Moses that says, do not murder. This is Jesus, what he says. Matthew 5, 21 and 22 in the Message version. You're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. He's talking about how we hold things inside and how we internalize, you know, and we hold all this stuff in, these little offenses, and it becomes toxic to the point where it's like murder. Carelessly call a brother an idiot, and you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. Wow. The simple moral fact is that words can kill. This is what Jesus said. This isn't me. Mikey's not saying this. Jesus said this in the Word. And after I wrote that down and after I read that scripture, I was like, dear God, please cleanse me from all the things that I have said bad about people. Because believe me, I've called people way worse than stupid and an idiot. I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. I've let my emotions get the best of me. I've became offended, and I've said things that are way far worse than what we just read in the scriptures. And here's the thing. Sometimes we think that, oh, it's just a little offense to do something like that. No, it's big. And what happens is you let these little offenses begin to build up and build up and build up and build up in our hearts to where finally it's so far deep rooted inside of ourselves that, man, everything that comes out of our mouth is nothing but negative and living offended. The Bible says in Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, because everything that we do flows from it. We don't want negativity. We don't want living offended to flow from our hearts. We want goodness, grace, love, and mercy to flow out of us, because that's how we're called to live. Listen, here's some simple offenses. I want to talk about a couple of simple offenses that can set us off. And these are good, and I hope that you can relate. Trying to talk to someone and they will not leave their phone alone. Somebody comes up and talks to you. Hey, Mike, how's it going? Oh, I'm good. How's things been going with you? Yeah, I'm good. Kids okay? Yeah, they're great. Getting bigger all the time. How's things with Laura's job? Oh, she's good. I still don't really know what she does, but she's doing good at it. You see what I'm saying? You see how that can be, you know, offensive to somebody. Somebody standing in front of you, at least give them the courtesy of looking at them and giving them your time. Yeah. Let me give you an example of this. And I'm really not sucking up to Josh and Tori this morning. They didn't pay me to say any of that stuff, and I'm not going to get a bonus for saying any of that stuff. But I'll tell you this. There is nobody better. You can have her for 2 minutes, and Tori will give you the world. You will be the only person that exists. She is so good at that. Being in the moment. Living with somebody, looking them in the face and giving them their attention, giving you your attention. It's funny, we talked in staff the other day about how we'll sit down to coffee or dinner and we'll set our phones face up in between us and the person that we're having coffee with. And you're looking at it half the time to see, like, oh, who's texting me? Did I get an email? Did I get this or that? It can be taken as offensive. Am I right? These are things we have to think about. We're talking about these little offenses. Shoot. Sorry, I forgot to unlock my iPad. Hold on, give me just a second here to go to these settings real quick and undo my display. Okay, we're good. Do I need Laura to help me? No? Okay, we're back. We're back. Josh, I'll tell you what. Okay. Or Mike, did you say that? I'm sorry. Josh said he was offended that I went to Josh first. So staying with the phone, I spoke about social media earlier. Man, that's where you see a lot of offenses happening between people. That's where you see people really letting out their emotions on social media, and it's crazy. And here's how it happens. Well, you didn't like the post that I just put of my coffee and my Bible and a sunset. Somebody literally said that to me one time, and I was like, are you kidding me? Build a bridge, get over it, and move on. Living offended, right? You didn't like what I posted. I didn't get invited to that Facebook event. This is a real big one. I didn't like what they supported. Man, it is quiet on Larkin Williams Road. I didn't like what they supported. Listen, what I love about the body of Christ is that it is big, it is unique, and it is diverse. And more than anything else, God created each and every one of us specific, unique, awesome, amazing, specifically gifted. And it's not for us to try. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in our own personal agendas and trying to convert other people to our way of thinking that we forget how to have a discussion with one another. And through that, we wind up offending a lot of people. I don't care if it's what your faith is, what your political background is, what your political stance is. We have to get back to the basis of loving and respecting people based on who they are. Because we forget all about that there's a person standing in front of us, and it's all about loving humanity right where they are. It's not about trying to convert them. Even when it comes to converting people to the faith, we get so caught up in the agenda of winning souls, and I'm all for that, that we go so gangbusters that we wind up overdoing it and offending people. And people are like, I don't know if I want to be a part of what you got going on. You seem a little bit angry. This is a big one. I said this in the first service, and it's true. It's almost October, and you know what that means? Pumpkin spice lattes, right? But after pumpkin spice lattes, right around the corner comes peppermint mocha lattes, which means it's Christmas time, right? I love Christmas time. But around Christmas time, there's always that one family member that's going to be 2 hours late to dinner. Nobody who takes into account that there's other family members who have kids who are waiting, who see the pumpkin pie, the turkey, the gravy, and the mashed potatoes. We're hangry and we want to eat. You've offended me by not honoring my time. Am I the only one who feels like that? Oh, don't start pointing fingers. Don't start pointing fingers. This is a big one right here. Someone tries to tell you how to parent your kids. Let me tell you what. That's all go. You mentioned something like that, and it's like, let's get it. I've got, I'm ready to go. Right? But I said in the first service, and it's so true, that you have to earn the right and the credibility and the respect in order to speak into somebody's life about how they parent their kids. Listen, we all live by the word, right? We live by the word, but kids are different. Parents are different. How we raise our kids are different. We go by the word, yes, but not every kid is going to be raised like your kid. Not every kid is going to be disciplined like your kid. Now listen, if somebody comes to you and they want to ask advice on what they should do in a certain situation, by all means, you have earned the right and the respect in order to speak into their life. But do not just go give your advice to somebody that you don't know just because you've seen their kids acting a fool for 5 seconds in Walmart. Listen, these are annoying things. They really are. They're just little annoying things, but the reality is that these things begin to pile up in our hearts, in our minds. And what does it do? It turns our lives into a living hell. It turns our relationships into a living hell. It turns our homes into living hells. It turns our workplace into living hells because we have created this threshold and this gap in between the people who have offended us because we don't know how to get over it and we don't know how to deal with it. And I don't want to live that way. As Christ followers, we don't need to live that way. I'm going to do my very best to rise above the offenses when they come my way and strive to be Christ-like. Listen, offenses are going to come your way. You guys know that, right? It's going to happen. Jesus said in John 16:33, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart because I've overcome the world. It's going to happen. John 10:10, excuse me, says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came so they can have real life and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Listen, Satan is very, very cunning. Babe, can you come up here for a second? I want to use you for an illustration this morning, real quick. I know you're very excited. Can you stop sending out that tweet, please? Oh, you're taking notes. Sorry. Listen, Satan is very, very cunning. You know, and a picture of a marriage is a picture of the church and Christ, to be quite honest. And Satan wants to destroy both. He wants to destroy our marriage and he wants to destroy our church. So if Satan were to come at me full throttle and just come with a massive, massive offense and a massive strategy to be like, I'm going to rip you guys apart. There's going to be infidelity. There's going to be all this stuff. I would stand firm and be like, not today. You're not going to get my wife. You're not going to get my family. That's not going to happen. I would square my shoulders and it would be on between me and Satan. But what Satan does is he's very smart because while we're standing firm, because it says when in the marriage vows, what God brought together, let not man or Satan tear apart, right? So what he does is there's these little offenses that happen. Like, for instance, why don't you ever take out the trash? There's a gap. Or, Mike, you haven't done the laundry and folded the laundry in a week. That's true, by the way. There's a gap. I don't like the way you drive. There's a gap. We haven't had a date night in like 2 months. There's a gap. Do you see what I'm saying? I could keep on going down and down and down. You probably have a personal life. I can stop right there. I don't think there's anything further than that. So I don't want to get you off the rug because then I might not get you back in. But what I'm saying is that that's how Satan operates. Satan, his agenda is destruction. His strategy is division, but his tactic is offense. Right? His agenda is destruction. He wants to destroy us. His strategy is to divide us and keep us apart. But his tactic is offense, and he does it through the little offenses because he's smart, man. Satan is cunning, and he wants to destroy our lives, our relationships, because if he does that, he knows that he can destroy the church. Yeah. But it's not going to happen, amen? Yeah. Thank you, babe. You smell great, by the way. His agenda is destruction. His strategy is division, and his tactic is offense. And listen, your life and your calling is too great to live offended. Yes, that's great. Your life and your calling, I don't know what it is too great to live offended. I mean, just take it as your calling, as an overall blanket to throw over this sermon. Your calling, love people and love God. Love God and love people. I mean, that's our calling, right? That's what we're supposed to do. And listen, our lives are too short to live offended, and our calling is too great. I seen a friend of mine at the airport a few years ago. His name's Brad Wilson. This guy and I, we were in high school together. He was a great student. I was not so much a great student. And we seen each other, and it was just like we locked up, and we just kind of had a reunion right there, and it was just like yesterday I was cheating off as an American history exam. We got to talking. We got to catching up, and, you know, we had both lost a lot more hair. We had a few more wrinkles, but, man, we were sitting there laughing. I was like, dude, we still got the magic together. It's like, this is a magical moment that's happening. But as he walked away, I sat there, and I was like, man, I haven't seen that dude in 20 years. 20 years. And I was like, it just seems like yesterday that I seen him. Life goes by just like that. My son, who plays drums for us this morning, I remember when he first started playing drums for me at church on Sundays. He was 9 years old. I had to, like, retrofit the drum kit just so his legs can reach the pedals. But he still, I mean, he had a gift. He had a calling on his life, man, and he was drumming like a warrior back then at 9 years old. And then I took a picture of him this morning, and I was like, good Lord, life happened so fast, just like that. He's wearing my shirt this morning. It's like, when did he start wearing my clothes? Life comes at you quick. You know what I'm saying? But our life is too short, and our calling is too great to live offended. Proverbs 19:11 says this. Oh, and one little thing before I read the scripture. He also knows, no matter how tall he gets, he can never beat me in one-on-one in basketball. He knows that too, by the way. Yeah, and all the students said, amen. Proverbs 19:11 in the New International Version says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Let me read that again. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. You know, sometimes when I was putting this together, my wife and I mentioned she mentioned the word about patience and being impatient. Is there anybody else other than me that is impatient in this room? Yes, impatience. I feel your pain. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Listen, overlooking an offense is not the same as saying that it never happened. Overlooking means that something happened to you. It hurt you. It offended you. It caused some damage to your life, but you're going to overlook it by letting it go. That's how we have to get over it. We're talking about crossing over a gap in a threshold. To begin to do that, we have to overlook it. So it's a choice. It's an in-the-moment choice to forgive somebody. It's in the moment. When it happens, we have a choice to happen. I mean, to immediately not react, but respond and say to ourselves, I'm going to forgive this person. And it's really difficult. It's really, really difficult because we want to let our human side, and our emotions take over. Because when somebody offends us, it's like, man, it's all go, no quit, right? It's like we want to get in there and just, it feels good sometimes to hold on to that. I said that to Tori one time at a staff meeting. We were talking about offense, and I was dead serious. I was like, but Tori, sometimes doesn't it feel good to hold on to that offense? And I was being serious because I knew that there was some clutter I had to clear in my heart. And how we do that is we overcome these offenses. So just a couple of simple thoughts. Just two thoughts we're going to unpack. We're going to talk about the smaller offenses as we have been. Then we're going to talk about the heavier stuff, the heavier offenses. And there's some of us that have deep wounds in here. And those wounds follow us around for years if we let them. And it creates this path of collateral damage behind us if we let these things continue to follow us around. So everybody say this with me. With God's help, I'm getting over this. Let's say it again. With God's help, I'm getting over this. And the first point is, with God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended. Ephesians 4:2 in the New Living Translation says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Like I said earlier, there's no perfect people. But what we do is we judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intention. You understand what I'm saying? That, like, we judge others by what they do, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. Like, even if we made a mistake, it's like, oh, well, you know, there's people who have said to me, well, you know my heart, Mike. And what I really wanted to say was, no, I'm not a cardiologist. I don't know your heart at all. Right? But that's what we do. We judge others by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. We want the benefit of the doubt, but we don't want to give anyone else the benefit of the doubt. Right? We want to have all that grace and mercy and kindness, but we don't want to extend it to anybody else. We will say things like I just said, you know my heart. Or, I mean, you know me. You know how I am. Right? That's what we say. But we need to recognize that when someone has a bad day or has a bad response or they seem uncaring, inattentive, unkind, unfriendly, short, lacking empathy, their bad response is not all about you. It's not. It's not about you. Their bad day is not about you. Their bad driving is not about you. Their sharp remark is not about you. My dad, one time, we were going to church. He tells the story that there was somebody going super slow on the road to church when we first moved to Jeff City, Missouri. He was behind him, laying on the horn, all that good stuff. And the car that he was kind of tailgating pulled into the church. And so my dad, being my dad, what does he do? He gets out of his truck, closes the door, and goes up to him. Good to see you this morning. Their bad driving isn't about you. Their sharp remark isn't about you. And we should get to a point whenever this happens where we tell ourselves, I wonder what this person is dealing with in their own lives. And then to further that, we should get to a point where, like, man, I wonder if I can pray with them or maybe encourage them or help them out a little bit. Because it seems like they're dealing with something. It's not about us. How much time do we waste building a case against someone that's not even thinking about us? Somebody offends us online, at the supermarket, at school, wherever it may be. Somebody offends us. We don't take it to them immediately and try to hash it out. No, we hold it and we begin to stockpile and build inventory around this thing. And it turns our lives into a living hell when this other person isn't even thinking about us. They're living in our minds rent-free. They're not paying us anything to live in there. I don't know about you. If they're going to live here, I'm going to charge them something. But these moments, we hold this against them, and we think all these awful things, and these people are really great people that we're thinking these things about. They're just having a bad day. With God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended over silly stuff. Let's not be offended over silly stuff. And that's pointed at me just as much as it is anybody else. I don't want to be offended over silly stuff. My life is too short and my calling is too great to live my life being offended. The second is, with God's help, I'm getting over the big offenses. I'm getting over the big offenses. Band, you can come. I know that there are some of us in here who are dealing with very deep wounds. You're dealing with significant hurts in your life. And they're significant, and they hurt, and they cause pain for you and those around you. When we've been hurt, we have a choice. We can rehearse what happened over and over and over again in our minds, or we can release what happened. When we've been hurt, we can rehearse, or we can release. When we rehearse, we play it over and over again. And it feeds the bitterness, it feeds the resentment, and it feeds the anger. And it drives it deep into our hearts where it becomes tougher to get out. But with God's help, we can begin to release it. Right? We have to learn how to lean on God, because we need God in these moments. We need God when those times get tough. You guys remember that song we used to sing in church? I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need you, God. I need thee every hour, every day of every hour. I'm getting over the big offenses. We've been hurt. We have a choice. We can release it. I'm passing over it. I'm overcoming. You know, it's to our glory to overlook the offenses that have happened against us. And the process of forgiveness may take time. But as we continue to seek God, as we continue to press in, and as we continue to pray and seek to do the right thing, His Spirit will actually begin to change our hearts. It will change our hearts. Colossians 3 and 13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We have been forgiven. So how can we not give that gift freely when somebody offends us over something stupid? When God was hanging, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, He cried out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We've been forgiven. We've been forgiven. Listen, I don't know about you guys. This is just me. I've been forgiven of an awful lot. And I'm going to continue to need that forgiveness day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Because I need it because Jesus gave it to me. And I need it. And then I need to, in turn, give it to others. Maybe there's been an infidelity in your marriage. Maybe your parents gave you up for adoption. Maybe a family member lied about you. Maybe you were wrongly terminated from your job. Maybe you were judged for one reason or another. These are deep wounds. These are deep offenses that if we let them burrow deep into our hearts, it's going to be tougher to get them out. We have to learn how to overcome that threshold of offense. I'm going to release and not rehearse. The closer I get to God, the lesser the offenses of this world can get to me. Because the more we elevate in God and in His presence, the menial stuff, the menial offenses down there, they can't touch me because I'm in God's presence. If there's anybody who had a right to be offended in the Word, it was Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was the 11th born of 12 sons. And the scripture says that his father Jacob loved him very much, probably more so than his brothers, because he had him late in Jacob's life. I can relate to being the favorite child. I can say that because my siblings aren't here. Joseph had a gift. He could interpret dreams. And basically he said, all of you are going to bow down to me one day. Essentially is what the dream interpreted. I told that to my brothers one time and they beat me up. So his brothers are out tending sheep in the field, and Jacob sends Joseph down to check on him and bring back a report. And his brothers, they plot to kill him, but they don't. They kind of come to their senses and say, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in this pit. That'll be fun. This is the Mike Skiles version, by the way. It's not, you know, NIV or, you know, New Living Translation. So they throw him in this pit. And then they see some travelers coming down the road, and they're like, hey, here's a good idea. Let's sell him into slavery. That'd be awesome. So right there, Joseph, he had two major offenses committed against him by his family and his brothers. They threw him in a pit. Then they sold him into slavery. But it's how Joseph responded to these things that were happening to him. He had a right to be offended, but he never was. He rose above it. Because when he was, he went to Potiphar's house, who was one of the officers of Pharaoh. And while in Potiphar's house, because he was a man of character, a man of God, a man of integrity, he rose to basically run Potiphar's house. Because God was with him, and Potiphar recognized that. Well, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph many times. Many times. I mean, day after day, day after day. So finally, She accuses him of rape and sends him to prison. Man, Joseph's getting a raw deal right now. A raw deal. But along the same lines, while in prison, he gains favor because God was with him. He was with him. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get angry. He didn't rehearse in his head over and over. He released with every offense that came at him. While he was in prison, the Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker were in there, and they had a couple of dreams that they wanted Joseph to interpret, and he did. And the dreams came true. That was his gift. So then the cupbearer, gets out of prison and is back being the cupbearer for the Pharaoh. And a few years later, the Pharaoh's like, I've had these dreams and they're giving me trouble and I need somebody to interpret them. And nobody around, you know, knew how to do it. And the cupbearer had this in the moment realization and was like, hey, I know a guy. I know a guy who can handle this for you. So Joseph comes and he interprets the dreams and basically saying there's going to be 7 years of plenty and then there's going to be 7 years of famine, which came true. So Joseph devised a plan. And the Pharaoh elevated him to basically running the country. Joseph had favor because he responded and he had character and integrity and he didn't let the offenses that came against him cripple his heart. So he creates a plan during the time of plenty to stockpile the grain and stockpile the food and the bread. So when the time of famine comes, they're going to be okay. During the time of famine, and this is years later, Joseph's brothers come to get food. Now, can you imagine Joseph seeing his brothers come to get food for the first time and seeing Joseph basically elevated to the second in command? But they didn't know who Joseph was. They didn't recognize him. Because I always think about what I would have done if I was in Joseph's position. Man, there's a lot of anger that can be had there, right? There's a lot of hate for the things that they did to Joseph. Well, Joseph kind of puts these mini tests on his brothers, and he sends them back to get one of their other brothers. And when they come back, Joseph sees them and he breaks down with emotion. And this caught my attention because I feel like sometimes we get so full of pride, we get so full of ourselves, we get so full of offense, and we get so full of anger and this toxic feeling that we have inside of us that we've forgotten what it means to be overwhelmed in the presence of the Lord. That we need to be broken. We carry this around with us, and the only thing that can break us is the presence of God. It's not like, you know, okay, I just want to go through the motions. No. Broken before the Lord. Joseph was broken when he seen his brothers. He was broken with emotion and overcome with love. And his brothers were worried. They're like, he's going to kill us. He's going to throw us in prison. He's going to do all these things to us. And Joseph was like, no. What you meant for evil, God has turned around for the good. And he was able to save people. He was able to save the country. He was able to do what God called him to do. He went from the pit to the prison to the palace. And how did he get there? He got there by not rehearsing the bad things that had happened to him, but by releasing the things that had happened to him. What's been the crippling thought in your mind? What's been the crippling thing that's been happening to you year after year, day after day, that's keeping you in prison and keeping you in the pit? And it's keeping you in the prison, and it's not allowing you to get to the palace to fulfill your purpose and fulfill your calling. Because your life is too short and your calling is too great to live offended. What used to hold me back through God's goodness has made me stronger. What weighed me down for years, it no longer holds me down. Why? Because with God's help, I'm getting over it. And eventually, I'll be over it so I can let it go. I just want to do my best. This is just for me. I want to be able to step over the threshold of offense because I don't want anything in my heart and in my mind, or anything that offenses that has happened against me, I don't want anything to keep me from God's promise and God's goodness. I don't want that for you this morning. With God's help, I'm getting over it. Your life is too short and your calling is too great to live offended. So let's step over that threshold of offense, no matter what it looks like. It's different for you and you and you. It's different for me. We're all on different time points on the continuum. Step over the threshold of offense. Can you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.